Thanks for downloading the free feed of Sunday Night's Main Event. If you'd like the entire show commercial-free, please sign up to our Patreon at patreon.com/SNMEradio.
And all of these neurologists, every specialist, every doctor I've seen has said the same thing, and it is this. You are cleared.
This is Sunday Night's Main Event.
Look, I don't know what's going to happen tonight, but boy, is it exciting!
With Dan the Mo Flabransky.
Everyone has a price.
And Jason Agnew.
I have a microphone, and I can be louder than each and every one of you.
On TSN Radio.
In clear violation of the law.
WWE presents Clash of Champions, but does it matter if none of the titles mean anything? NXT is set to debut on USA, and our old bosses get access to access and bring back the firing squad! Oh man, hello everyone and welcome to Sunday Night's Main Event. It's a pay-per-view evening, and that means we are live right here on TSN Radio and looking for your feedback. Jason Agnew here with you, joined by that laughing man, my longtime tag team partner, Dan the Mouth of Vransky. And today, Dan Lavransky, you did your best impression of Sign Guy Dudley.
That's right.
And you went viral today. You're the hottest topic in the GTA.
So we're going to talk about that rather than Clash of the Champions.
It might be more interesting.
Well, regardless of that, we have lots of stuff to get to, as Jay mentioned. Clash of the Champions just wrapped up. We're going to give you the complete rundown. And then we want to hear from you. What did you think of the latest offering from the WWE?
Yeah, that is what we are doing tonight. Looking for your phone calls because we are live. 1-866-729-2562 is the number to call. You can send all your tweets into @SNMEradio. And of course, I posted up the feedback thread on the Facebook groups. Just search SNMEradio on Facebook. I'll approve you and you can get there. We're going to take a break. We're going to come on back with a recap and rundown of WWE Clash of Champions right here on Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio.
Hello, Gordon Levesque here. No one swings and hacks like I do. And no one struts quite like I do, too. And no one brews beer like Great Lakes do. Canuck Pale Ale. My beer, your beer. Our beer. Available in over 400 LCBO and grocery store across Ontario for only $2.80. Great Lakes Brewery, brewed for you, Ontario.
The bad knee gave out. Now Rollins with Strowman in position. No. Rollins looking for the pedigree. A pedigree to Strowman.
But the monster still stirs.
Fourth stop by Rollins. Cover. One, two. Rollins retains the championship.
Who's gonna drive you home tonight?
Yes, indeed. Seth Rollins retains the championship tonight. I think as a lot of people suspected, they dropped the tag titles earlier in the night. Again, kind of predictable. And then at the end of the show, The Fiend came out setting up Hell in the Cell for next month's pay-per-view, which is only 3 weeks away.
That's it. Yes, this one will barely be in the rearview mirror and the next one will be here.
I mean, so here's the deal. This is Clash of Champions tonight, and WWE made a concerted effort to get all of the titles on this particular show, all of their championships. And what it really did, what I really think it exposed, is the fact that there's so many champions that none of them mean anything.
That's it, Jay. I don't think anybody really cares. Did you get really excited about any of these in terms of the championship part of it? Not really. Exactly. That when you have too many titles. And plus, we see title shots on TV constantly. Mm-hmm. Like, is a whole show of championship matches a big deal?
Well,
no,
I think
it's not.
You know what's funny, Mouth, is the one match that they pulled off this show, which is the King of the Ring tournament final, is now it's a little unfortunate because it's tainted, I think, because Corbin's in it. But yeah, nonetheless, that's the one to me that I think has the most allure because the tournament has been
pretty good.
Yeah, I think that I was really surprised when they pulled it off the pay-per-view because I thought it was one of the big matches of the show, and I just figured that it also makes it seem a little bit, not a lot in this day and age, but at least a little bit more above everything else when it's on the pay-per-view.
Yes.
Having it finish on the television, to me, doesn't really make it that big of a deal at all. I was surprised. It's anticlimactic to me, maybe because Corbin's winning, so it's anticlimactic anyways.
All right, well, let's get into it here. Tonight was Clash of Champions. It's coming to us from Charlotte. We're taking your feedback on tonight's show as well in just a little bit once we get through the rundown. So if you want to get on the line, it's 1-866-729-2562. As we are live tonight on TSN Radio, it's Sunday night's main event that you are listening to. The first match on the show tonight, super early, the Cruiserweight Championship. No surprise there. It's a three-way. Humberto Carrillo, Lindsay Dorado, and champion Drew Gulak. Gulak retains here.
Yep.
This one, I mean, you have three guys that are supposed to work together pretty well, but Carrillo kind of messed up his Aztec press at the end before Gulak stole the pin by throwing Humberto out of the ring there. It was a little sloppy to me.
Yeah, I mean, it was an okay match. I mean, I have to admit, half the times I'm not even paying attention to these guys, so maybe perhaps now that they get integrated in NXT, that will... overall, we'll start to pay a little bit more attention to them.
Yeah, that looks like the direction. So it's going to be the removal of 205 Live and the integration into the Wednesday night show because you're doubling up that show
exactly.
As far as how much time is needed. So you do need more bodies. And if that perhaps ends up being the work rate show, then guys like this are going to be,
a little
bit more high profile.
Yeah, it's a better spot for them, for sure.
And of course, the next match we'd go to is the U.S. title match, Matt.
I don't know about you, but I was totally surprised by this. This was actually one of the matches in terms of in-ring that I was looking forward to, and I also thought maybe they would give Cedric a little bit of a push here, and I didn't think he would win, but I thought they'd give him a little bit more of a match and make him look like a bit of a star here instead of having him get beat in 5 minutes.
Where is Cedric from? Do you know?
Oh, of course. You're right. They were in his hometown.
They were in his hometown,
so
Mouth.
You bury the baby face. I forgot. Classic WWE rule. You bury the baby face in their hometown. Of course. Duh.
Sometimes I like to not tell you things as we watch and just get your reaction on the air. Yeah.
Duh.
So it's Cedric versus AJ here. And Cedric came out hot here. The Michinoko driver right off the bell for a near fall. And there was a little part of me that was thinking...
That's it.
Is it? Oh! And I think I was.
You
still,
bought. You
I was.
Bought it for
I
a
bought
second.
In. I was fresh into the pay per view, and I got excited. And then 5 minutes later, AJ dominates him, and then he gets beat down after the match. I don't know what's happening here. I'm guessing there's more to it coming up on Raw tomorrow.
What you mentioned there off the top was about all Alexander got in the entire match up to this point. AJ gave him a Styles Clash on the outside, went for the pinfall in the ring, and did the classic heel. Oh, no, I'm not going to beat him yet. I'm going to beat on him further. I'm not going
to
pin him.
Which to me means... AJ
you
loses.
Thought, exactly. That looks like, the cocky heel's going to lose.
That's
right. But nope. Then very shortly after, AJ gets the flying forearm, another Styles Clash, and pins him in 5 minutes. And yeah, as Jay mentioned, to add a little extra topping on the cake, Anderson and Gallows come down and they beat him up. So... I don't know. I just thought from what they had been doing on television lately that I thought, maybe they're going to get behind Cedric here a little bit and give him a little bit of a push. But no, the match was on the warm-up show, and it went 5 minutes long.
The pay-per-view starts next, or the event starts next. We roll into the 7 o'clock hour. Sorry, not the 8 o'clock hour. Raw Tag Team Championship start things off. Now, here's the thing. It's Seth Rollins and Braun Strowman versus Rudolph, Bobby Roode, and Dolph Ziggler. Now, this is two teams... Four entrances, Mouth, just to show you. Could you imagine this happening in AEW? Because I couldn't.
No.
Because they're all into the tag teams. This did remind me of very much of WCW-wise, where they're just throwing guys together.
That's what I was going to say. Both of these guys on both of these teams have just been thrown together. Neither of these guys are legitimate teams. And the Rude Ziggler one is just ridiculous. I mean, they win that match in their first time together. And then they win the tag titles tonight. They had three matches as a tag team, and they've got the belts already.
Yep.
The announcers were kind of teasing that Braun wanted Seth to get beat up in this one, so you'd have that story going into the title match. And they did isolate Seth and work on him in the match. Braun, of course, got the hot tag. The idea was that, but the Rollins was in there a lot more than Braun was. And then Braun hit Roode, who knocked Seth into the turnbuckles, and this allowed Roode to give Seth the DDT and pin him and win the titles. So the story is that Braun is upset that Seth cost them the titles leading into the title title match. So there you go, your new tag team champs there, Rude and Ziggler. Are they
Rudolph?
Really, are they really calling them that?
No.
No, exactly. That's your name for them.
Yes,
okay,
it is.
All right.
And that's how they will be referred to on this show from here on in. Rudolph. Tonight is just going to be a show of me messing with mouth as he's as he sweats away. By the way, we have no air conditioning in our studio tonight. It is a mess here in Hamilton.
Hot enough to boil a monkey's bum in here. It's hot.
Wow. Okay. So after that, Charlie's backstage with Braun. Braun says he didn't lose the tag championships tonight. Seth did. And Seth will lose again later tonight. Then Kayla, an interview with Becky Lynch. She says that Seth and her will both retain tonight. She earned everything she got, and Sasha has earned the beating she is going to get tonight. The WWE SmackDown Women's Championship is next. Bayley, your champion, versus Charlotte going in. And let's keep in mind, Charlotte's her name. She's from around the area. We should have thought it to begin with that Charlotte was going to lose this match. And she did. They start...
And I was just going to say another quick one, like 6 minutes. Yeah. Like, I don't know why. I mean, I guess we always complain that less is more, but I was really surprised tonight that the bulk of the matches, except for two of them, and I bet you can guess which one of them, was the were longer matches. The rest of the show was kept really short.
Also, Mouth, this one, this was the start of us seeing repeat match structure in tonight's event.
Yes, yes.
And we saw it off the top here because we mentioned already that Cedric came after AJ really quick and went for a near fall. And in this match, it was a similar opening with Charlotte running across the ring and nailing Bayley with a big boot and trying to get the near fall. And it was very reminiscent of what we just saw a match ago. And we would see that happen a little bit later as well.
And usually the agents are really good about that type of stuff, about making sure you don't see the same things in the matches when they put them together with the various stars. So I was surprised we saw that again as well so quickly after the other one. There wasn't really much to this match. Like I said, it was only 6 minutes long.
But the finish was great.
Yes.
This is my favorite moment of the night.
Is it? Yeah.
100%.
Yeah, this was cool. Bayley took the bottom turnbuckle off, and Bayley smacked Charlotte's head off it and pinned her. And then Bayley, when she got that title, she just ran out of there like a shot, straight up the ramp, and she was gone, which is great for the heel, right? I've got my win, give me my belt, I'm out of here.
This was the best thing that Bayley has done since she has been on the main roster.
Wow.
Finally understanding that her character is now a heel.
Yes.
And therefore, the character cheats, takes the belt, and runs away to get away before anyone can change their minds.
Yes.
I love this. Reminded me of something the Honky Tonk Man would
do. Yes, exactly.
That's what reminded me of.
No, it was absolute classic heel, man. I got my shoddy win. Give me that title. I'm out of here.
Continuing on here, match number three on the main card was the SmackDown Tag Team Championships. It's the Revival versus the New Day. The Revival now have, and they may have had it before, but I didn't notice, hashtag FTRKO on their tights with their new pairing with Randy Orton.
Yes.
They really mouth play up in this match, Xavier and his bad knee.
That was the story.
The Revival goes after it over and over during the match, and ultimately that is what led to the finish here.
Yeah, they had Woods. They could have pinned him and let Dawson put him in that inverted figure four leg lock that he does until he tapped out, and they did win the title. So the Revival win the SmackDown tag titles. Again, another short match, 10 minutes long. They kept this one pretty brief, and they cut a promo on the New Day, and then said, they also said that Orton would beat Kofi later on tonight as well.
Yeah, I really like their promo here. The Revival obviously gifted on the mic, and we saw this back in NXT, and they really haven't been given much time on the main roster, but you know, they finally say no more stupid trombones and hip swivels. They've silenced them both. The old school have finally silenced that noise, and they claim, yes, as you said, Randy will win later tonight. And it will finally be a new day.
A new day.
There's a lot to it. There was a lot put together, and I thought, you know, these guys are very much gifted on the microphone, and they should be given it more. There is an interview backstage. Charlie is with Harley Quinn and Nikki Cross. Like, somewhere Liv Morgan is sitting there going, oh, come on!
Yeah, yeah.
You take me off television, and then Alexa Bliss
steal
tonight
all my gimmicks.
Dresses like Harley Quinn. Apparently Liv is being repackaged into her natural self, or whatever they're doing with her, but wow, Alexa Bliss really playing it up tonight. Their interview is interrupted by a boom mic, and this is where the silliness of the 24/7 title comes into play. R-Truth is revealed to be holding the boom mic. Alexa then announces through the boom mic that R-Truth is here, and the Job Squad runs through the back. That leads us to the match with Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross versus Fire and Desire. Of course, this one is for the women's tag team titles. Fire and Desire, by the way, Mandy and Sonya. And this was a low point of the night.
Yeah, I mean,
work rate wise.
Yeah, it was not a good match, and they did use it for more comedy. At one point, R-Truth runs out with all the guys chasing him for the title. He runs into the ring, and then they run after him with Carmella carrying him out on his back and everyone following. It just kind of interrupted the match for no reason except to be some comedy. The finish, Cross pinned Mandy Rose after she missed a knee, so they retained the titles. It was kind of the idea that Nikki did most of the work in this.
Yes, that's Alexa, what they're pushing.
Yeah, Alexa didn't really do a lot in the match at all, but I suspect the comedy was put in there because they kind of knew maybe it was not going to be a great match, so they just thought, well, stick it in there.
Well, I feel as though this is, you know, it's not necessarily bad storyline-wise, because the storyline here is still Alexa taking advantage
yes.
of Nick,
yes.
the fact that Nikki is very naive, and Nikki's here doing all the work for Alexa to kind of cruise along and really doesn't believe in the friendship, etc., etc. So that is what they played up here, which is not necessarily a bad thing, but the match really wasn't all that great. The Intercontinental Championship was next. Miz versus Nakamura, who is your champion, and Sami Zayn is in the corner of Nakamura. Isn't it funny here, though, Mouth, that if Miz were to win this match, he would tie the Intercontinental Championship record number
yeah.
of reigns?
By who? They wouldn't tell us who it was because
they just
Jericho.
Declared that fact
yeah,
on
yeah,
the broadcast.
It's Jericho, and he's, you know, obviously persona non grata now. So
I mean, I kind of wanted to see Miz win the title here and then go back and celebrate with some bubbly in the dressing
can
room.
Can you imagine? That
or lose the title.
Yeah.
Lose
yeah,
the title in
yeah,
a limo.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
They're, all of those things.
No, they've stayed away. They've stayed away. I'm surprised.
No, I'm not. They don't want to acknowledge it.
Not even make fun of it. Eh?
Don't want to, because
not
if you make fun
it.
Of it, you acknowledge
you,
it.
You bring attention to it.
And if you
I
bring attention
that.
To it.
I learned that today, that if you make fun of something, you bring attention to it. I learned
if
that.
If you don't know what we're talking about,
that.
And you're a friend of Dan Lavransky on Facebook.
Oh, just, I don't know how you missed it then. If you didn't see it.
If you're not a friend, go look at Dan Lavransky's profile on Facebook. And my goodness, did he have a day. And this day may continue on. Reddit has found it right there. You are right, Mouth. It's kind of funny here in regards to this, though, Mouth. You have Miz, Nakamura, and Zayn. Would this not be better suited if roles were reversed here? And by that, I mean Zayn and Nakamura in the ring, and Miz is the mouthpiece for Nakamura. Because Miz is gifted on the mic.
Yeah, but I like Sami Zayn's good on the mic, too, though. I don't have a problem with him on the mic.
No, but you do have a problem Miz in the ring.
Well, yeah, of course.
That's what I mean.
Oh, I see. Okay,
see?
So you get a better in-ring match.
That's right.
Right.
So I don't have a problem with Sami Zayn on the mic, but what you do have a problem with is him doing his best Leo Rush on the outside.
Yeah, that I don't like. You don't need to have the running commentary on the outside. I think he just cuts your promos, but it didn't last long. They shut off his mic, and then at one point, Miz took it and threw it all the way up the ramp, so it was out of the way anyways. Again, a short match, 10 minutes. I just have trouble watching Nakamura's matches now in WWE because he just had such astounding matches in New Japan, and I just feel he's so completely wasted here, and I didn't care about this match at all. Miz got the curtain call and then went for a pin, but Zayn was distracting the ref, and then Miz got distracted. He chased Zayn, and Nakamura got control and hit Miz with the Kinshasa for the pin, and so he keeps his belts. It was, again, to me, it was just a match that was there.
It very much was.
Like, I'm not motivated by any of these feuds. I don't care about any of these titles. Like, there's very little in this product, no matter how good it is in the ring, to capture me emotionally, and that's where I think I'm hurting here.
I will say that there was motivation, and the fans did care about the very next match, and that was the Raw Women's title.
This was
title.
The first time on the whole show they got excited, yeah.
We will talk about that when we come back. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back, run through the final three matches of the show. Four matches, that is. One of them very forgettable, and I probably want to skip over it, but it took up a lot of time, so we'll give it some time too on tonight's show. My goodness, we shall do that when we return. If you want to get in, we'll be taking your phone calls after that at 1-866-729-2562. You're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event right here on TSN Radio.
If you're a fan of Sunday Night's Main Event, check out WrestlingObserver.com, a daily podcast, multiple podcasts per day, with hosts Dave Meltzer, Brian Alvarez, and a number of others. You get a full library of podcasts dating back to 2005, over 9,000 shows, hundreds of back issues of Dave's Wrestling Observer newsletter dating back to 1991, and so much more. Don't miss out. Check it out today, WrestlingObserver.com.
I'm Dan the Mouth of Ransom.
And I'm Joe Aguinaldo.
And we are the old folks, two burnout wrestling fans that have been watching it since the 70s.
But now, All Elite Wrestling is here to make everything old new again.
So what better idea for a podcast to have it covered by two old crusty farts?
It's called All Elite Weekly, and you can listen to it by becoming a patron of Sunday Night's Main Event at patreon.com/SNMEradio.
And you can bet we'll cover the good, the bad, and the ugly, because we're the old folks, tough guy.
No, 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 no. Using the chair to advantage.
We got Greg Banks is on.
There's no referee out here to even call this.
Now on Sasha. Sasha
needs a referee. You need officials. You need the police. This is out of control.
And finally, they're going to attempt to drag Lynch off Sasha Banks.
Ladies and gentlemen, I've just been informed, as a result of striking an official, Becky Lynch has been disqualified.
You might think I'm foolish, maybe it's untrue.
Well, there you have it. That was the match that the fans really did jump into tonight and were quite excited for. Welcome back. It's Sunday Night's Main Event. We're talking Clash of Champions. Jason Agnew here, Dan Lavransky across from me tonight from our very hot studios in Hamilton, Ontario. And Mouth... You know, Becky comes out, Sasha comes out, the crowd is stoked, they came alive.
Yes.
I thought this was the match of the night until we got to the finish, and then the finish affected the last 10 minutes of the match.
Yeah,
It was strange.
Yeah, once they got out into the crowd, I didn't mind it.
I don't like it.
I don't like it because it takes away and it brings down the crowd because they're running all over the building and no one can see what they're doing.
To a degree, but they do have the big screens there, and I'm guessing by the crowd reactions that you did have them filmed on the big screens and the crowd could watch it. Before they got out there, though, these two do work together well.
Yeah.
And it was a nice mix of trying to tell the tale of the disarmer versus the bank statement.
Yes, that was right. They were constantly going back and forth with that. Sasha getting the upper hand at first. She did get the bank statement on at one point, but Becky got out of it. And then there was, as you heard there in the clip there, Becky knocked out the referee, and that ended getting them off fighting in the crowd.
Well, before that, though, you also had them alluding to Sasha, who's the one who got frustrated and started using the chairs. Sasha, they made it very clear, and we know this of her history, that she loves Eddie Guerrero. So she was trying to play out the Eddie Guerrero scenario of using the chair, but, you know, throwing the chair away, the referee takes one chair, she takes another chair, and then hits Becky with it. And I thought it all played out very nicely. And then Becky knocks out the ref.
Yeah, and then it just goes off into the crowd. And I'm kind of bored with brawling in the crowd, no matter who does it. It takes a lot for that to look interesting to me these days. They fought all the way up the stairs, all the way up into the concourse. Becky sprayed mustard on Sasha. And then they fought all the way back to the ring through the crowd again. And then Becky beat her up with the chair while the ref was still out. And then Becky had Sasha's arm in the chair, in the arm bar, and the refs finally ran out and pulled her off and said it was over. That was it. They just said it was over. They didn't give her another ref. They gave her the belt, said she was DQ'd, and she retains the belt, and it was flat.
Okay, so let's go back here, because you didn't like the brawling in the crowd, and I didn't mind it, but what I didn't like about it is the fact that nothing was done. If you're going to brawl up into the stands, have a spot up in the stands.
That was it. They did nothing. It was boring. To me, those are time-killing things.
To a degree.
Every other match got 10 minutes, so you could have an extra 10 minutes to waltz around in the crowd doing nothing.
If it was going to a place, I would have been fine with it.
It never went anywhere.
My issue with the finish here is that, so Becky's got her in the armbar sitting on the chair, and then the three people come in, two refs and an agent come in and pull her off. And then it is declared that, as we heard in the clip,
it was DQ from Becky, way back from the other ref shot.
Before they even went in the crowd.
So apparently the match was over before all that stuff started.
You're telling me.
Yeah.
I just watched them climb into the crowd for no reason.
Yep.
It had no stakes involved to it. So that, to me, it's like, well, not only did you make me angry about the finish, but along with that, you made me kind of ticked off about the 10 minutes I watched before that.
Exactly. To me, from the crowd brawling on to the end, it was garbage, and I totally hated it, and I thought it was one of the good matches I was looking forward to, and I didn't like it at all.
You can divide this match in half with good and bad, though, because the first half was good.
Okay, yeah, I suppose. Until they get into the crowd and the ref gets knocked out, it's not bad, but then they just ruined it with that. And having a DQ finish in a match like that, especially 10 minutes afterwards, the match
that was strange.
Over, yeah.
But how'd you feel about them in the crowd? Okay, let's move on to our next.
What a smarty.
The next match, because if anything is going to brighten this crowd up tonight, if anything is going to brighten all the viewers at home who are just ticked off at that last finish,
this is it. Coming
it
up.
Is the WWE Championship, Kofi Kingston as your champion versus Randy Orton. This was the moment. And I don't know if it's going to come back, but to me, number one, you can stamp on the pay-per-view at 9:15 p.m. when the fans basically turned on the show. And number two, Kofi Kingston came out, and it was the most quiet I have heard the crowd since Kofi Mania started. It's definitely faded. And at this point, I just feel like this program, and I've said it on the show before, this program is a holding pattern and is waiting for Brock Lesnar to take the title of Kofi Kingston when they hit Fox. Boom.
Yeah, I think you're right. The crowd didn't really care. I certainly didn't care. It was your slow-paced Orton kind of match. There was one point where it did look like it was done, where he got an RKO, but Kofi did have his foot on the ropes. And the finish was Orton went for the punt to the head, but he missed, so Kofi was able to respond and come back with the Trouble in Paradise, and he pinned Orton to retain. Clean pin, so I'm hoping this program is done with. It's over.
No. I don't think so.
You don't think it's
no,
over?
No, I think it's got another pay-per-view in it.
Wonderful. I think it's, for me, it's partially Randy Orton. I just think he's so dead as a character. I get nothing from him anymore. I don't want to see him. I don't want to see his matches. And I just feel he really needs to disappear or be refreshed, or something needs to happen with Orton.
After this, we have the Street Profits show up to talk about the Lion King and Stink Faces and the King of the Ring.
King Booker.
Which will not be crowned tonight. This was an excuse to have Booker T walk in playing King Booker, which was a very fun gimmick when he did it. He does all the old favorites. Tell me you didn't just say that, and Can You Dig That Sucker? But to me, it was always he did the Can You Dig That? And then he would walk off the screen and then
come back
and yell
Sucker. Yeah.
Walked off and then came back and did the whole line. I was like, Booker, did you screw up your own line? Match number 8, Roman Reigns versus Eric Rowan. It's the one non-title match that is on this. It is a no DQ match. You know the expression forever and a day? Well, if that last match was forever, this was the day. This was far too long. A lot of plunder used in this match as well. I mean, I'll give it to Eric Rowan. He's been elevated up the card, and it's not like he looked out of place with Roman Reigns. But also, to me, once again, we talked about placeholders like in the last match where I was like waiting for Kofi with Brock. And in this match, this whole thing to me had been done in order to push towards Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns. And Mouth, honestly,
that's not
after
where
this,
it's going.
I don't think that's even happening anymore.
I think they've totally switched where they're going with this. Absolutely. I don't know. Again, to me, you talked about early how they duplicated stuff between Cedric Alexander and in the Bayley.
That's right.
You know, and then this one, they did it in this one too, fighting in the crowd again. I just saw fighting in the crowd two matches ago, and I didn't like it then. I just thought, again, a long, kind of boring match. The Rowan beat on him for a long time. He put him through an announce desk and a table, and the battle in the crowd. And then this was the big surprise. Like Jay said, we all thought, okay, this is linked to Daniel Bryan eventually getting in there with Roman. Well, it doesn't look like it. Luke Harper showed up, and he helped Rowan beat on Reigns, and they were both dressed the same.
Yeah, they were both dressed the same, so it does allude kind of to, you know, a tag team look here and them going back to that wearing camo pants.
That's what it looked like. The only thing I will say, though, Harper looked a lot smaller. He looked like he's lost a ton of weight while he's been away. But the fact that they were definitely dressed the same looks like they're going to be a tag team. And Rowan ends up winning with the Iron Claw slam after Harper comes out and helps him. So
you know what Harper needs? sleeves on his shirt.
Yeah, now he does.
He really does.
He didn't used to, but he does now.
I don't think he saw a gym the whole time he was away.
No, he looked a lot smaller.
And I'm saying that because, you know, his profession is a professional wrestler.
And a big one. Like, he's a
big
guy, right?
Yeah, he's a big
guy,
dude.
He's not
a super muscly guy, but, like, look bulky.
No, but, yeah, he's a big guy. You need to look impressive.
Is this body shaming?
Yeah,
are we going to be accused of body shaming now? I don't know. And so, there you have it. It was Rowan winning because it was a no DQ match, so that was fine. There is an interview. Charlie's with Seth. He's going to win, yada, yada. WWE Universal Championship is your main event tonight. It's Seth Rollins versus Braun Strowman. There were a lot of rumors leading up to this that Seth was going to drop the title tonight. That did not happen, but wow, did they make him do a lot of finishes before taking out Strowman here?
Yes, exactly. And again, another short match. Your main event, 11 minutes. I was very surprised that this one went so short. Braun, of course, dominated for a long time. Seth got control at one point. He did dive, sending Braun into the announce desk. Braun did a frog splash off the top rope, which they really played up big time. I mean, it did look impressive, but I don't understand why guys like him are going up there and doing frog splashes.
Okay, but let's pause there. If that is going to happen, if that is going to be a spot, then why isn't that reserved for a future finish?
And that's what I'm saying. If a 350-pound guy flies off the top rope and lands on you, you should be done.
You're out.
Yeah, you should be done. That should have been... I think all three of us said that. That should be the finish, right? Seth used the sleeper, but Braun kind of hulked out of that one, and then he hit three of the curb stomps there, and Braun kicked out of all of those, and then finally hit a pedigree. Has he been handed the pedigree? Has Triple H handed him the pedigree?
Well, he used to use the pedigree when he was in the feud with Triple H, and they wanted to remove the curb stomp and because they didn't want curb stomp use, so now it's the stomp, so he went back to doing the stomp.
Oh, okay.
But he was using the weird knee thing for a while as well.
Right.
So Seth has had some transitions, but
this was
going back to the Kingslayer type
deal. So he used the pedigree, and then he got one more stomp, and then he got the pin. So he retains... He retains the title there, and we thought the show was almost over. Even the little logo was in the corner.
It went
to black. Yes, they were smart. Smart the way they did that. But then it's all dark, and then all of a sudden we hear something's going on. Oh, the lights are flickering. Oh, there is the Fiend, or Bray Wyatt, or whatever you're going to call him now. And he appeared. He gave Seth the Sister Abigail on the steps, and then he gave him the mandible claw. And then the show actually ended with the Fiend over top of a knocked out Seth Rollins. So obviously our setup there for Hell in the Cell, which is the next pay-per-view in 3 weeks.
Show went off the air at 10:30 thereabouts, so that was nice. We had time before getting on the air. Do you like The Fiend? Because a lot of people love this character, Mouth.
I'm still on the fence. I mean, the vignettes are kind of funny and goofy, but I need to see what he's going to do as a character, right? Like, vignettes are great for building it up, but let's see what he's going to do.
You mean in the ring?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Yeah, exactly. In the ring. How is it going to be portrayed in the ring? How do we get across
Well, we've seen him in there with Finn.
That he's a fiend, but we've only kind of seen him do attacks on guys, you know?
No, we've seen a match with Finn.
But it was short, though. It was just a short match. It wasn't really, you know, I don't know. I want to see a bit more of the character. I like the vignettes, but I'm not completely convinced yet. Because these are tough sells, this kind of character. It's not an easy one to pull off. We saw, I mean, already with the first version of Bray Wyatt, look how much trouble they had with it.
Well, part of the reason was all the disconnect between what Bray Wyatt's entrance is and what he does outside the ring and how much feel you're getting of the character to what he does in the ring. And I am curious to see if they are going to change the moveset
and
the in-ring notion.
Does he stop doing the spider? Like, I think you really need to change him up and separate him from the old Bray Wyatt, because if people just see the same old things again, it's going to get boring fast.
I want to know your opinion on The Fiend, and I want to know your opinion on Clash of Champions. When we come back, taking your phone calls, already a few people on the line, 1-866-729-2562. That's what we shall do next, as we are live tonight. It is Sunday night's main event. You're listening to it on TSN Radio.
Hey there, I'm Morty Jenkinson. When I'm not coaching the offspring in soccer, baseball, or wrestling, cutting the lawn, or playing taxi, it's shirts off, Crocs on, slather on the SPF 100, fire up the barbecue, and crank up the Bob Seger, while lounging in the kiddie pool, of course. Ryan Reynolds wishes he was me. Over my dad body Pilsner from Great Lakes Brewery, now available at your local LCBO.
And the official just trying to back up Charlotte Flair. That wild-eyed look in the eye of Charlotte. We've seen that before. Charlotte can't let it get the best of her.
And Charlotte's able to focus her emotions on.
Oh, no! Hey, wait a minute. The turnbuckle pad was off. Wait a minute. Cover by Bayley. Bayley retains the title.
It is kind of magic that Bayley did something that works towards her character and is great. I feel as though it's been a long time since we've seen Bayley do pretty much anything good. Welcome back. It is Sunday night's main event. You're listening to it on TSN Radio. Jason Agnew and Dan Lavransky here. And it's time to go to the phones because we are live tonight on TSN Radio. So let's get to it. We're going to kick things off with a gentleman who called in early and has been waiting. That is Chris from L.A., longtime caller. Hi, Chris.
Hey, what's up, guys? How's it going?
You know, we're chatting wrestling. We've just sat through Clash of Champions. What did you think, man?
It was what it was. I didn't really, watch, from the beginning till the end. I, picked up on certain parts. I'm kind of with Mouth on the theme character. I don't really even see how it's that different.
Yeah.
From the old Bray Wyatt character, with the sneak attacks and the eeriness is just different. But it's I don't see how it's that. Hopefully he wins now or something different happens.
They book him stronger. That'll be the difference. They'll book him stronger this time. Hopefully.
Yeah. Because to me, it's just exactly the same. But overall, I wasn't the biggest fan of the pay-per-view. I didn't hate it. It was just kind of there.
Yeah, that's funny you say that. That's exactly what I said to Jay during the show. I just feel like this is another show. It's just kind of there. It's not good. It's not bad. It's just kind of there.
Right. And then I also wanted to say this quick AEW point while I have Mouth and both of you on the phone. I am a fan of JR's commentary on AEW, and I know you guys have been kind of banging on that, but I one thing I like about JR that I hate about WWE is JR, when something silly is happening on the screen, I don't mind him treating it like the silliness that it is, like with the Cracker Barrel Battle Royal or whatever that was. I don't mind that stuff. I hate when I watch WWE and Michael Cole and those guys try to treat the silliness that I'm watching like it's something I should care about.
But isn't that the way it should be? Don't you think that is the way?
I don't think that's how it should be. And I think JR has always kind of done that. Like, JR has always, he's always had those, smart alecky jabs about the product. I watch football all day today. When I watch basketball, anytime something silly happens on the television, the announcers will call it out. This isn't if he was bashing the product outright, I'd have more of a problem with it. But I don't mind him calling out silliness here and there. But I understand. Everyone's got an opinion, right?
Well, the one thing I'll say is I don't mind calling out the silliness, and I kind of prefer it in the way that Corey Graves can do it, with a little bit more of a sharp tongue and a little bit more clever. I find JR's stuff not clever.
And I just find that JR has this really...
He's old and crotchety now, so...
What's that? Sorry?
I said he's old and crotchety now, so...
Yeah, that's the feeling that I get from it.
And I get a really lackadaisical feeling from him, like he doesn't care. He doesn't care.
I can see that. I don't get that vibe, but I guess the true story from that will come when it hits the television, right?
Well, we'll see. Thanks very much for the call, Chris. Much appreciated. I mean, the thought on the TV is there. We don't necessarily know who is going to be doing commentary. Is it going to be JR every week? Well, has been declared yet?
There has been a... Excuse me.
Yeah, clear that throat, Lavransky.
There has been a real hint on the latest AEW segment leading to the TV with Shivani interviewing Cody. Cody basically really basically said in an off-the-cuff way that Schiavone is going to be doing commentary.
Now the question is, who's it with?
That's right. Is it with Excalibur? Is it with JR? It's going to be one or the other. I would hope they stick to a two-man booth. I don't know if their plan is to go three like everybody else, but...
Well, maybe that's not a thing
anymore.
Well,
that's it. As we heard this week, they're thinking about that in WWE as well. So we'll see what happens, but I'm pretty sure that Shirwani's going to be in there. And just the way that he's handled himself so far with the segments he's done, I thought he's done great.
Yeah.
Whereas JR, to me, JR's position, and I've said this... He should be there, but he should be doing those interview segments. He's great when he interviews people. He's great when he does features. I would just prefer to leave him off the commentary. That's it.
Let's go to Paul, who is online one from New Jersey. Hey, Paul.
Hey, guys. So I thought the show was pretty mediocre overall,
mm-hmm.
but I did really like the Bailey and Charlotte finish and that it kind of came out of nowhere.
Cause, me too.
You know, I think it's going to continue, and I kind of like that on like an 8-11 match card that, you know, that happens. But
let's also consider, Paul, I mean, the fact that if you look at this match, so Bailey beats Charlotte by cheating. Charlotte, who, you know, the daughter of the dirtiest player in the game, and she gets beat that way in her own hometown. I mean, for losing in your own hometown, I didn't care for the Cedric Alexander loss, but I actually liked the way this Bailey finish went down and the reaction of Bailey. I can't say enough about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, even the reaction of Charlotte, and they call it out on the show, she kind of just smiles. She doesn't even dispute it because she's like, oh, yeah, I've pulled this stuff before.
That's so great.
Yeah, I thought that was a nice little thing. My question is, did Bailey keep running to the highway, though? Because where was she when Sasha Banks was getting smashed out by a chair?
Well, you know what would have worked? I didn't think about that, Paul, but it actually would have been great if Sasha had led Becky up top onto the rampway, and then Bailey was there to screw her over.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, the thing is, somehow you'd have to get them back into the ring, which didn't make any sense at all because it wasn't a no DQ match.
Yeah.
But if there was some essence of Bailey in that match and those two teaming up to defeat Becky, and that's the way Sasha won the belt, I would have loved it, Paul. Mm. That's a great point. Where the hell was she?
I don't know. I thought that would have been really cool, too, because, like you guys said, when they went into the audience, like, and they didn't do a spot, I thought it was telegraphed, but also, yeah, don't let Vince McMahon hear about that whole Rudolph thing, because you know that'll happen.
I'd be happy to see it. I mean, remember, Robert Roode had a mustache at one point for 1 week. Put him in the red nose. Put Ziggler in the red nose, and they'll be Rudolph together. I'm just going to keep saying it, guys.
Well, Christmas is coming, so don't put
you
it
You think
past
they're still going to be a team that far
well,
away?
That's true. That's a good point, too.
Good luck, Mouse.
They got the belts now. You never know.
Because I mean, that means a
yeah,
lot.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Listen, right. Actually, I mean, if you do look at those two, neither one has anything going
no.
on. So putting them together is not the worst idea. My problem with it was the fact that we just saw Robert Roode with Chad Gable, and then that just went away. We never really saw a feud afterwards.
No.
And we actually just saw Dolph Ziggler, I guess a little bit further away, but remember he was teamed with Drew McIntyre
for a while.
Yep. So you have these two guys who have just been floated around. Dolph was gone, then he was back, then it should have been me, it should have been me.
That's the story of these guys' career in WWE. They just float around, but they try things with them, they don't get behind them, and they're just used to fill in spots. These were just guys to fill in spots. They needed some new guys, so they just threw them together in a team. The part that bothered me was them winning the three-man in like their first match together. They win this match to get a title shot, and then they win the titles. It's like pretty ridiculous.
You know what part of the issue is with WWE characters? And I was talking about this week on the Midweek Markout with Paul and Dan, who are on the show with me. And we talked about Chris Jericho. And
mm-hmm.
we talked about the whole thing that happened with the title and how, you know, when you heard Chris Jericho lost the title, what do you think? Well, he's a rock star and he's probably drunk at a bar and lost the title. Now, it didn't turn out to be that way, but you can imagine what Chris
Close.
Jericho does in his spare time.
Sure,
you know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, you know about him. You know that
yes.
his character's a natural extension of himself.
Yes.
He's an almost 50-year-old guy who's still a rock and roller, still killing it with the partying, and he is pretty damn cool.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And what do you know? Tell me something about Robert Roode.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's it. I can't.
You can't.
No.
He's a man who has a theme song.
Yeah. I mean.
That's it.
I mean, the best thing that you can talk about him is what Corey Graves hints at in the commentary and saying, yes, many years ago, he was part of a great tag team. And like, I loved how he
that's
was.
That's it.
They kind of tease that, but they can't say who it was and all that. But it's true. You don't have that. But the thing, Jericho has had that chance to do that. He's had the chance to build up that character and create that persona for us. Guys like Rude, who are talented, have never been given the ball. What would happen if someone like Rude went to AEW? I would think you'd have a Moxley style, even a Cody style revelation if you were put the guy in a situation where he can express and show his talent rather than constantly putting him in stupid things and not pushing him.
Okay, I'll be honest with you. I don't know how much of a personality Bobby Roode has because I don't know if he's ever been given a real chance for it. But he was fun in Beer Money.
I think that's what I'm saying. I think in TNA you did see signs
of
that, Jay.
Yeah.
And I think here in WWE, because I don't know if you remember, but I was very excited when he got.
Oh, you were. You've been a fan.
I thought this guy is going to get somewhere.
Sure.
He's got potential. He's got charisma. He can cut a promo. And they've just took the legs out from under him every single time. I think if someone like him went to AEW, you'd see an entirely different thing.
Let's do one more phone call before we get to the top of the hour. We're going to talk to Dave Meltzer, and that is going to be Hansy. Hansy.
Hello?
Hansy, are you there?
Yeah, Hansy. What's up?
Sorry about that. Sorry about that.
That's okay. Hansy, stop apologizing. Just tell me what you wanted to call in and say.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just wanted to say that I thought the pay-per-view was pretty good for the last half. I just thought it mostly, like, even though, like, the purpose of a pay-per-view, but I think it's, like, meant to, like, just set up other things in the future or whatever, right? So I just thought for the most part, like, in, like, the first half, it was mostly for setting up stuff in the next pay-per-view, but, like, I don't know. I just thought it was kind of like a weaker pay-per-view until, like, the main event, basically. Like, I'm looking forward to the potential feud that Seth is going to be in.
Well, I think some of what you're saying is not only setting up the next pay-per-view, but along with that, thanks for the call, Hansy. Appreciate it. What this could be getting to here is there's a lot going on in WWE right now.
Yes.
You have a massive change coming. I mean,
yep.
Look at all the things
October.
That are happening.
Yep.
You have this week.
NXT.
Never mind, this week.
Yep. NXT on USA.
Sort of, kind of goes on USA.
Yeah, that's right. Because, explain that. Because
well,
we're going to get
last week. Oh, it's the first hour.
We're only getting the first hour because they have Suits, which needs to wrap up for the next 2 weeks. So that's really weird. I don't know why they didn't just wait until after Suits was done.
So you have that happening. You have SmackDown moving to Fox, and you have, of course, Raw staying on USA as well. But along with that, you have the draft coming too.
And we know what drafts can do.
Yeah. So you're in a state of flux in regards to who is going to be going where on these three brands. Along with that, the brands are supposed to be distinctive. That not only means for the wrestlers, but that means for the announcers as well.
Yep.
So there's all of that going on, and then sandwiched in that, hey, we're doing a pay-per-view. So let's do this tonight, but knowing that all of this is still to come. It's not like you're... And it's 3 weeks away is the next pay-per-view, so
it's
even that is
the
close.
Draft. It's before the draft.
Right.
It's right before the draft. It will be the Sunday, and then I believe it'll be the following...
Friday.
Well, we'll start, because they're going to start on SmackDown, not on Raw, right? So it will have pay-per-view on Sunday, SmackDown, and then the Raw. So yeah, that's the thing. What do you even do for this pay-per-view if literally days after that pay-per-view, you're going to shake everything up anyway? So what is hell in the cell even mean? Like, it means very little when...
Well, they can make it mean something, I guess.
When you're going to change everything up the next day, unless you've got a really good beat on what you're going to do, with these draft shows, I wouldn't be surprised if Vince McMahon's writing it the day of the show. Like, they've got to have some stuff in place or... And that's the thing. Why would he even get interested in the next little while when you know everything's going to drastically go through a change? They've already put it out there to all their fan base, that this is going to happen. Draft's going to happen, and this is going to happen. And so why should we even care to anything that happens before the draft?
That's very true. And that might have been some of what we saw tonight with the audience not caring all that much. We are going to take a break. We're going to come on back. Dave Meltzer is going to join us to kick off the next hour. Don't forget, Turnbuckle Trivia to come as well. A championship edition that actually is live in studio, championship edition. We will play for you. And we got your feedback, more of your phone calls, all of that. We're live tonight. It's Sunday night's main event. And it's coming at you on TSN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the free version of Sunday Night's Main Event. Well, that was just hour one, but if you want hour two, then please sign up to our Patreon. Patreon.com/SNMEradio. It's just a dollar a week. You get the full two-hour show, commercial-free, and along with that, all of our bonus podcasts that include The Midweek Markout, All Elite Weekly, Sunday Morning Trivia, and Dan Lavransky's Music Show. All of that comes to you for just a dollar a week. So go get it right now. Patreon.com/SNMEradio.